I'm sure you've often asked that question that you see on the screen, what's next? You've probably, often said, what's Aaron going to say next? Sometimes I've asked that question myself. But as we begin today, we are kicking off a brand new series entitled What's Next? And we're going to be looking a little bit at our mission as a church. Where are we going as we go into 2022? How are we going to fulfill the mission that God has clearly given to us as a church? And so we're going to take a look at that a little bit this morning. Before we dive too much more into that, let me pray for us and pray for my time as I open God's Word and seek to say what He wants rather than what I want. Father, I thank You for today. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word stands above any of the thoughts of man, that Your Word is Your Word that gives us life, that declares Your truth, that proclaims Your gospel. And Father, we thank You for Your Word today. And so, Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would do what You see fit to do in our heart and life as You convict us, as You comfort us, as You challenge us, as You encourage us to move forward into this year by faith and following You. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as many of you know, our mission for some time, or at least when I got here, was a simple phrase: meeting God, meeting friends, and meeting needs. And as we move on into 2022 and beyond, I would like to slightly tweak that and kind of recommend something. And we'll talk about what that looks like in documents for the church and stuff later on. But I want us to start thinking about our mission in terms of the next slide that they're going to put up on the screen. We exist to make disciples who follow Jesus, connect with one another, and serve others. You're like, Brother Aaron, that's kind of the same thing. Well, really what we want to do is we want to think about how we communicate our mission, how we communicate folks making their next step with Jesus. Because some of us here today, our next step is to follow Jesus for the first time. But for some of us who are already followers of Jesus, our next step is just to continue to faithfully follow Jesus. So as a church, we want to make disciples, help disciples follow Jesus faithfully. But also, we want to help disciples connect with one another. Probably one of the greatest tragedies in the 21st century is how disconnected our society is. More particularly, how disconnected Christians are. I mean, we're on social media, and we think we're connected, but face-to-face relationships is what the church is built on. Community and fellowship is what the church is supposed to be all about. Not for the sake of just getting together, but for the sake of having biblical Christian fellowship. And so next week, we're going to talk about that part of the mission. And then we also want to be a place and a people who serve others. And we've done that in many ways, and we're going to continue to do that. And over the next year, we're going to talk about that. And in 2 weeks, I'll be out of town, but our director of missions is going to be here sharing with you some practical things you can do as you seek to serve others in your community in the day-to-day course of your life. But as for today, we're going to talk about following Jesus. How do we do that this year? Where, no matter where you are, if you're a Christian or not a Christian, no matter where you are, how do we follow Jesus in 2022. Matthew chapter 19, we see an interesting encounter. Jesus has an encounter with a guy who is determined or called a rich young ruler. Probably meant he's somewhere between the ages of 20 and 40. Now, some people say 40 is not young, but I want to argue with that now. Now that I'm 45, I want to argue that 45 is pretty young, and I'll go with that. And my kids, I say to them all the time, I'm getting old, and they say, stop saying that. And it's true, I'm not old in the scheme of life and everything. But so this rich young ruler, this encounter in Matthew 19, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But as we begin this year, many of us are probably thinking about how to make changes. We're thinking about how to make changes to maybe some of our spiritual health, probably thinking some of us about how do we make some changes to our physical health, how do we diet or exercise or get into healthier routines in life. And I don't know about you, but it seems like commercials and social media ads are just unbelievably targeted at the end of the year and the beginning of the year, aren't they? You get on Facebook or you get on your social media account and they're immediately wanting you to get on a diet program or buy some exercise equipment. You turn on the TV and they're advertising the month of January free if you sign up for a month at the gym, or a year at the gym. I mean, they want to get you going. And the ads for me that are most effective, I don't know about you, and I know they're probably Photoshopped and not right, but the ads that help me the most, that make me want to buy something or want to join the gym, are those pictures, those before and after pictures. That person that is before they went to the gym or before they got on the diet or before they developed the new plan or before they signed up or bought the equipment and afterwards. Those before and after pictures, they really do share something with us. You know, Jesus loved contrast himself. Jesus, as a matter of fact, uses a lot of contrast in his teaching. Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, he talks about two roads. Jesus says there's two roads that you can go on in life. You can go on one road that leads to destruction, and it's a wide road, it's a broad road, it's easy to get on, it's easy to navigate, it's easy to travel, but the end of that road ends in destruction. Then Jesus also talked about, in that same story, that same little teaching moment, a narrow road that is difficult, and few find it, but that road, it leads to life. Jesus also talked about two different houses and two different foundations later on in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus tells a story of two brothers in Luke chapter 15, one who was called the prodigal son and one was the angry brother who stayed at home and took care of dad. These two opposing ideas, these contrasts, this juxtaposition, if I even can say the word, I had to look it up to see what the word meant. But this contrast, so to speak, that Jesus talked about a lot. And in Matthew 19, Jesus makes some contrast. He actually contrasts this rich young ruler they meet with his disciples. Because this rich young ruler was following something, but he was not following Jesus. And these disciples, they were following Jesus. And we see a strong contrast between those who follow the world and those who follow Jesus. Now, if you get nothing out of today's message, you get nothing out of what we're going to look at in Matthew 19, get this one idea. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you have. It only matters who you follow. Let me say that again. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you have. It only matters in this life when it comes to eternity and it comes to living this life and it comes to God's purpose in this life. The only thing that matters is who you follow. And so we see a contrast here in these two things. And the first thing we see is the contrast, or the first is those who follow the world. We see this in the rich young ruler, Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. Let's read that together. It says this, "And behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these I've kept. What do I still lack?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." And quite often, we stop right there. Quite often, when we've ever heard this story, or if you've ever looked at this story, if you've ever read this story, we see the story, we don't read what comes next, and we'll get to what Jesus said about his disciples and what Jesus said to his disciples in just a moment. But for now, what do those who follow this world look like? What are their characteristics? What does it look like to be a person who's following this world? Because the reality is, even in a room this size, even with a crowd cut down for the holidays and other things going on in our world, the reality is there could be some of us who are living this way. We're following the world. We're living in this pattern. And the first thing we see in verse 16 is this. Those who follow this world, they think their good deeds will get them into heaven. Look back at verse 16. Here's what the guy comes up. This rich young ruler approaches Jesus, and here's what he says. "And behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?'" That was a very common way in their society and even in our society to think about life. If we'll just do good things, then we'll have reward in the next life. If we'll just be good people, we'll just be moral people. Do you know in a 2020 poll taken by the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University found that 48% of U.S. adults affirm this statement: a person who is generally good does enough good things for others will earn a place in heaven. 48% of people in our country think if you're just a good person, if you're just a moral person, then everything will be fine, everything will be great, everything will be wonderful. If you'll just do enough good deeds, if you're good enough, that will be enough to get you into heaven. It's not just merely the thoughts of a few uninformed people that weren't educated and didn't have all that we have available to us 2,000 years ago. It's still what people think today, that if you're good, that will be good enough to get you into heaven. There's some that have grown up in church, and they go to church every Sunday thinking if they just keep going to church and keep giving and keep being good and keep being moral, that will be enough. And they get to the end of their life just hoping they will inherit heaven. But the Bible says this, that we can know that we have everlasting life, because it's based on the works of Christ and not based on our works. It's based on the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for us, not on what we do. And so those who follow this world think their good deeds will get them into heaven. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, Jesus says to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." Now, he didn't tell him that he could do good things and get into heaven. That's not at all what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying there's only one who's truly good. And that one who's good is God. And if this guy really, really knew what was going on, he knew that he'd be talking to the Son of God himself. The one who was good. The one who is holy. The one who is just. Jesus was saying that you've got to be perfect in your moral behavior. And no one is to get into heaven. This guy believed what many have called a Santa Claus kind of faith. If we're just good enough and we do good deeds and we're kind people, that it'll all work out in the end, that we'll get good things from God. That's not God's economy. God gave you his best when he gave his son. When he laid down his life, when Jesus laid down his life for you, he gave his very best. And it is our job to receive and to place faith in Jesus and to trust him and to follow him with our lives. So we see that they believe that they think they can do something. Those who follow this world think they can do something to get into heaven. Their deeds will be their path. Second thing about those who follow this world is they believe they are better than they really are. This is the part that's dangerous for all of us. If we're not careful, we can think we're better than we really are. We think we can be better than the person next to us. We look at the world and we go, "Well, I'm better than that person. I hadn't killed anybody today." Well, that's good. Glad no one's killed anybody today. Our tendency is to compare ourselves to one another. Look at verses 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus said to him, "Well, which ones?" Jesus told him to keep the commandments. And the guy goes, "Well, which one should I keep?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Literally, Jesus went commandment 5 all the way to the end. And you go, "Well, Brother Aaron, I don't see coveting your neighbor." Well, what do you think love your neighbor as yourself is? It was Jesus' summary. If you look at the 10th commandment, it's kind of long. Read Exodus chapter 20. The 10th commandment is kind of, Jesus summarized it real quickly. Love your neighbors yourself. Is that not abiding by you shall not covet your neighbor's wife and possessions and this and that? Loving your neighbors yourself. Jesus gives him all of the horizontal kind of relationship commandments we see in Exodus chapter 20. He's saying that you've got to get this right. You've got to make sure that you're perfect in this regard. And then look at the guy's response. Now, this is the part that's hard for me. Verse 20, the young man said to him, "All these I've kept, what do I still lack?" There's one thing for sure we know about this guy. He was not around when Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. Because when Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount, he took all of these commandments and he said that it's about a greater thing, that if you may not commit adultery, but if you look at someone lustfully, you've done it in your heart. You may not murder someone physically with your hand, but if you've hated someone in your heart, then you've murdered them. Jesus said that. So this guy was just looking at the his good deeds and look at what he hadn't done, and he had kept all of them to the letter. Sad reality is for many of us is that we do the same thing. We believe that we're better than we really are. When I was growing up, our church had a gymnasium, full court gymnasium they just put in. And so with the church build the gymnasium, you got to start having basketball teams and basketball leagues and all that stuff. And so they had all that. They had basketball leagues and all this stuff growing up. And I joined the basketball league when I was in like 9th or 10th grade. Now, do I look like I was made to play basketball? I'm not made to play basketball, but I did anyway. And I had fun. And we had one star player. I mean, he was good on our team. And we played a few games and we won and we beat people because our star player was better than all of their players. We finally played a team that when we really looked at the end of the game, our star player was average at best. See, many of us, we never really compare ourselves to the right one. We just compare ourselves to someone we know that we're better than. And we look better. And this guy was comparing himself. He was saying, I've done this. I've not committed adultery. And his thought of adultery was doing this, or I've not done this, or I've honored my father and mother. He's thought about these things in comparing himself to someone else. But folks, our goal is not to compare ourselves to the next person. It's to compare ourselves to a holy God. And say, God, where do I stand compared to you? God, where do I stand compared to who you are? And then in verse 21, Jesus said something to him, and this reveals another characteristic of those who follow this world is they worship something other than God. Verse 21 says, Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. He says, okay, sell everything you got. Just divest yourself of everything you've got. Sell it all, give it all to the poor, and just come follow me. Why did Jesus say that? What was his purpose? What was his intention? See, Jesus was getting to the first commandment. What is the very first of the Ten Commandments says? You shall have no other gods before me. See, Jesus got to the real heart of this guy's problem. Was he a moral man? Absolutely. But like all of us, he struggled to have another God. And this guy was following another God. He had another God. His money was his God. His wealth was his God. It was standing in the position. And the reality is those who follow this world worship something other than God. You can fill in the blank to what that something is. It could be money. It could be a job. It could be relationships. It could be knowledge. It could be a lot of things. Those who follow this world, they're just worshiping something other than God. We're all worshiping something. And our lives reflect what we're worshiping. I was reading a book this week. Spent a lot of time the last week of the year reading and preparing and getting my heart set and ready for the next year. And as I was reading a book, I picked up on a kind of the healthy church and ministry and pastoring.